Jumping right in, the session is about rhythm. We're going to use How High the Moon as our tune. And it's just invoking the jazz feel. If you leave this clinic knowing about how the chords move and sort of what key centers we're in, and be able to play a major scale or minor scale of that key over that bit of the tune with rhythmic confidence and variety, you're happening. I don't care if you've never learned to play vertically, you know, you're way on your way to having a great time on the bandstand, right? And so this is on purpose, not a non-intellectual lesson. We did quite a bit of intellectual stuff last time. And this is just playing with jazz rhythmic feel. I'll give you some tools whereby you can do that. Before we do any of that, we'll just play through How High the Moon.
Excellent.
That was awesome.
That's right. This is the first week you told us what we were going to be doing, right?
I suppose. Well, maybe that's something I should do more often.
You send it to us with the song?
Yeah, good question. Regarding the count off, since there's three pickup notes, thanks for bringing that up.
Right.
You're coming in almost a whole bar ahead, you know. Right. So how would you, any guesses, anyone?
Four,
I think,
one.
Yeah.
Land on the count of one.
Like, give us a demonstration.
One, two, three, one, two, three, four, one. Dun, dun.
You could do it like that. It would be better to keep the... That was like a three-bar count in, which is an odd number, so it didn't feel as nice. There's nothing wrong with what you did, but it would feel nicer if it was two. So a one, two, a one. Somewhere, that's how I do it. So it was overall two. Wait, when you do one, two... It actually is a three-bar. Wait, when you go one, two... One. No, that is two bars. That is two bars total, right?
Yeah.
So the second bar was the pickup.
So this is like the vocalist would count it in and then start, you know, one, and the band would probably come in on
it. You would do it just like that. That's how I do it on the band. Say one, two, a one. And the band will be right on it, no problem. All right, so we're going to talk, the main thing we're talking about today is eighth notes. Eighth notes is the basis of jazz rhythmic feel. So when we have da dee da, right? We're gonna solo with or scat with eighth notes, right? And for now, everyone just play some swing eighth notes on G major, any notes you like, just for the hell of it, all at the same time.
No chord changes.
No chord changes. Just one. Two, a one, two, three. I'm sorry, I did more eighth. I did something other than eighth notes.
I
my bad.
That.
I'm so.
You can't help yourself.
Control of how flat or round to make the swung eighth note. Very bouncy would be. Which is cool. And very flat would be almost like straight A's. So even just that is a useful thing to be conscious of how much swing you're adding to your eighth note. Let's hear perfectly flat, straight eighth. When someone says straight eighth, right? Or, you know, some tunes are not swing. Or this tune could be done as straight A's. You could play, I'm digressing, but that's right. You could do it as a funk. Suppose I wanted to play it as a straight A's. Like smooth jazz. The eighth notes would be... You know, there's no question that there's... But at this tempo, I should have, since we're doing, so instead of that, it would be, but that's 16th note, so it would be like, so let's go back to G and give all straight eights. One, two, three, four. Right? Pretty easy. And now I'll give it super bounce. Let's say it's like, and it's like a tune from the 20s or something, and you want to deliberately make it sound very bouncy. 3, 4. I might want to do that. You know, if it's like a da 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 da, whatever that song is, Squeeze Me. Da 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 da. Just squeeze me.
But please don't tease.
You know, a very, you know, kind of, for lack of a better word, hokey type swing song. Great song. If you ever heard, I don't mean to say hokey.
Ellington,
like
hokey?
Freaking Louis Armstrong has a killing version of that. So I shouldn't have used the word hokey. I'm sorry. Should have, deliberately bouncy is what I should have said. But you can control how much, you know, what would be somewhere in the middle. Experiment with, if it's a swing, you know, and it's somewhere in the middle, I'm not sure I can. Sorry, I'm adding triplets in there, but it depends on the context of the tune, right?
I've never heard. I only know two kinds of eight notes, swing and straight. So what's this thing I don't know yet?
I'm just saying, within the swing, there's some
bouncing
degree of flexibility of how bouncy you want them.
I see. Can you put the bouncy in some other way? Like, for instance, here's the head of Satan Doll.
Okay.
Doll.
All right, I'll put it in context like this.
Instead of da 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 da. So if that was straight, it would be da 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 da.
Yes.
Da da da.
You said it right. Da da dee da da.
That's
da da.
Yeah, there it.
You said it right.
Da 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 da.
Yes, correct.
Da da da.
You said it perfect.
Da.
Like a Latin feel, always is always a straight feel.
And swing it like you expect
correct
it to be. But what's bouncy?
I just mean like everything is very triplet based. There's an underlying triplet to.
That's how I think of the swing.
And it should be, but you don't. What I'm saying is you don't necessarily always have to exaggerate that if you don't want to. And this isn't the core of the lesson, by the way. We're not going to spend
no
a lot of time on this.
No.
But it's just something like, you know, people, you can sound a little bit, if I used to sound, you know, my old teacher used to try and communicate that to me, that I was sounding, making myself sound dated or something by playing too much triplet bass eight notes. So. Nothing wrong with that, but if I even it out just a little, 2, 3, 4. I evened it out a little. Can you hear the difference? If I straighten it out, flatten it out completely, then under a swing, I'm going against the feel a little bit. Give me a swing, like two, but I'm gonna deliberately play flat. All right, so I'm not going to swing at all. 2, 3, 4. Oh, where are we?
Which song
you want? Just do the first four bars of How High. Like 2, 3. I'm kind of fighting him a little bit to make it flat. Right, I'm resisting his swing. But somewhere in there, it's all discretionary. But that's not the core of what I wanted to get to. Just to make you aware of, right? And when I say underlying triplet, it means, you know, if you every beat was a triplet, 1 2 3 2 2 3 3 2 3 4 2 3 1 2 3 2 2 3 3. You're leaving out the 2 bit, and you're playing like 1 3 2 3 3 3 4 3 1 3 2. That would be bounce, in my definition, bouncy. Like right on the triplet every single time. And then what's in between? It's like in between. If you have to analyze a bar, you know, then bouncy would be exactly 2/3, and flat would be exactly half. You know, so between the flat and the 2/3 bit would be your range of sort of expression, you know. And you should listen to different artists and see, like, what, you know, what do I like about their feel? This is something that's hard to teach. It's a very individual thing, you know. What do I like about that person's feel? What do I like about this singer, the way they, or this pianist, or whoever it is? And so, there's a lot to be said about the eighth note feel. Some of what we're going to do tonight is just simply where to, like, how to vary up where you start and end your phrases. Suppose you start on a downbeat and end on an up, right? Still, we're not going to do any chord changes, just G. But it can be starting on any beat and ending on the end of any beat. Demonstrating. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. You know, I'm just starting on the one beat and I'm ending on some end. Experiment with that. 1, 2, 3, go. And so for you, it'll be like da da dee da. You can add other rhythmic elements too. It's hard to just do all eight of them. But make sure the end of your phrase is on an end. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like rubbing that in my head, rubbing my pelvis.
Yeah. Yeah, I find, I struggle with this too. As of being like you, a rock player before I was a jazz player, I definitely used to struggle. I still struggle with this, but. So it's interesting. This is definitely a lesson that applies to all levels, no matter what. But let's go around. By the way, Hillary was doing something that made me think of something, which is.
Kick your ass on her scales? Oh my god.
Your eighth note could be short, or it can be over the bar line. So you could go 3, 4. I'm sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4. Or you could go, right? It doesn't matter for this exercise. Like, know where you are. So can I have, I'm looking at you, can I have you demonstrate first? Like do some, can be on any, start the phrase on any beat and finish on any end. 2, 3. All right, did she do it? She started on an end. She went 3, 4, 1. Anti-na-na-buddy. Right? 2, 3, go. You did it again.
Oh, I can't do that?
Not for this exercise.
Okay, all
right, the mission is start on a beat and end on an end.
Okay.
3, 4. Okay, stop. The first phrase you did, the second phrase you started on an end.
Oh, okay.
The easiest way to do it is if you tap your foot on the beat, then if your foot's going down, you don't end there. If it's going up, you end there. It's not easy. 2, 3, 1. Should listen and see if she's doing it all. I think for the most part she was correct. Do one or two more, but tell, do like 4 phrases, and then you guys tell us whether she did it all right or not. 1, 2, 3. What do you think?
I think so.
I really have no idea.
She did. She did it all right. Well done. Doug, you're next. And just do the same thing. Like, listen to him and see if he can do it. See if he's on. One, two, three, go. So the last phrase was different, but did he do it?
First two, definitely.
Yeah, the third one he did.
Yeah.
He did it right. He just held a note over the bar line. Oh. And I saw you question yourself whether that was right or not. He was something like, and triplets we'll talk about in a minute, but one triplet, two triplet, three, and... But since the note held over, we weren't sure. We're constantly doing that to our audience. We're giving them a combination between... between horizontal and vertical harmonic thinking is on or off the beat rhythmic thinking. We're constantly playing with our audience, keeping them in suspense, i.e. delaying the resolution or anticipating, or keeping them grounded, i.e. playing chord tones on the one and three, one and or three. The one and three are the strongest beats. Two and four are the backbeat, but the ands are all anticipated and they give the feeling of swing. If I do nothing, let me demonstrate that for a second. We'll move on, but well done, Doug. But let me hear, can I hear someone comp, or even just a root and fifth on the bass, please, Don? Like, and if so, I'm gonna mess with you. If I do all anticipations, two, three, four. Be kind of ethereal and interesting for a little bit, but there's some part of you that wants to stay grounded. Now, if I ground you too much, two, three, four. Oh, I think I've made an eighth note in there, sorry. It's like very kind of robotic a little. Right, so somewhere in between, and you're in control of that. The point of this lesson is to be conscious of what your heart, what your rhythmic. This alone can get you out of endless ruts. We always think of, I need some more stuff. This is a very, I cannot emphasize the power of this. We always think, I need some more. I need a new scale or a new something or a new chord or something. To get me out of this rut, and all it really comes down to is rhythm. It could be that simple. This can transform your playing. And constantly, I have to remind myself of this, even though I know it's true and I've seen it happen many, many, many times. Because there's so much harmonic stuff to talk about in jazz. You can spend a long time worrying about chord changes and analyzing and all this, and that's all very important. Which is why it gets neglected in the... All right, so I'll shut up now. Let's do Louise. You guys could feel free to comp for her, like with the 1 and 5. You guys can do the Freddie Green. What I mean by that is, famous rhythm guitarist. If you don't know him, you should check him out. Played with Count Basie band for 40 years or something. Okay, good. Your phrases are all starting on the beat, and that's a good thing. But where are they ending? So, that's on a beat. But something like this, ends off the beat. Can you feel that difference? So, like one, two, and three, and four, and, good, get used to that. Yes, and you can hold the note too. So, yeah, like Doug was doing. Right? Cool. Keep going a little bit. And then you guys listen to, like, do 3 or 4 phrases, and then we'll see if you do it or not. 1, 2, 3, go. You actually did. Okay, stop. You actually did one, and you shook your head. No, you did it. You went da 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 da. You know, 1 and 2 and so. If you're ever not sure, another trick is to tap on the 1 and 3. All right, let's talk about tapping a little bit. Schools of thought differ on this. You know, how do you tap along in your body? You know, some say to tap all 4. Well, that's okay. I'm going to obviously tell you about my preferences, but I will tell you that schools of thought vary, and my way is not necessarily the universally accepted best way. It's just the way that I like. I like 1 and 3. There's a Hal Galper book called Forward Motion where he makes the argument in print that I had already come up with for myself. I was grateful to see it in print to have some corroboration, but that's not necessarily, like I said. Some people tap on 2 and 4, and and then according to the book, it kind of gives you a false sense of swing. I don't really know if that's true, because I know a lot of great players who tap on 2 and 4 and it doesn't hamper them at all. But I like 1 and 3 because it grounds me, and also because I can end my phrase, not just for this, but I can end my phrase on the end because it's right before the tap. If it's not on the tap, it's got to be on the 8th note. Demonstrating. Can I get some comping? I'm going to tap on 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, right? So go ahead, play 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3. Now, I know this is, like you said before, Republican, whatever you just said. This is obviously a joke. No offense to any Republicans. I never heard that before. Is that like a thing, or did you just make that up?
I didn't make it up. It's a joke from somebody, but I can't remember.
This is very unswinging like.
Yeah, but I heard it clapping like a white guy.
Yeah.
See, you want to bring race into it. Either way, race or politics, it's going to be offensive to somebody. But by doing this, it forces me to swing. And I know, da-da-dee-da, da-ba-dee-da, da-da-dee-da-da-da-dee-da. I can end right before, yeah, see, there you go. I can end right before the tap, you know. There's another reason I like 1 and 3s, which is whenever I do something polyrhythmic, I can't do it. I simply don't have the coordination to execute polyrhythmic stuff and tap on 2 and 4 at the same time. Let me, this is not the scope of this course, but it's a quick digression. Let me hear G major again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like 3 against 2 type thing. I can't do that tapping 2 and 4 at the same time. That's just my digression. But you could experiment with that, and that's an easy way to know whether you're, even if you're tapping on all.
Here's another reason to tap on, well, to not tap on 2 and 4.
Right.
Because if you're tapping on, if you are, I'm getting all, if you're tapping with your foot on 2 and 4 and you're snapping your fingers, you end up with.
That's right. That's right.
Instead of.
That's right. That's right. Keeps you grounded a little. So you can experiment with that and it'll help you. Don, let's do you, bud. Yes. Yes, absolutely. You just bring up a great point. Thanks for reminding me. This applies to comping just as much as soloing. In the same way that I demonstrated being kind of square with being on the beat and too floaty with too much off the beat, the same goes true for comping. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you do only that, it becomes just like a thing. And then, you know, it's cool to go hear some. I'm gonna get myself in trouble on this one. It just boxes you in a little bit. Suppose you anticipate the chords by an 8th note, or some of them. Now there's endless amounts. ounce of variety. So we maybe we should have just started there with the comp.
That yeah. ends up like strumming, kind of. Instead of chunk chunk, it ends up like strumming, kind of like sound like strumming to me.
Yeah, yeah. So, maybe we should do a round of anticipating chords. So we're going to anticipate the second and fourth bars. For Louise, I'm not sure what you could do. You would just hum the roots, like...
Try to have some idea what you're talking about. That's what
I mean. Well, you'll hear everyone else do it, so you can do it with your voice. Just mimic us. Okay. Like one, except the only one who's not doing it is Don. He's keeping us grounded.
Yeah, I'll try and be on one.
Like one, two, one, two, three, four... Every other bar. Does anyone not understand what's supposed to be done? So one more time. One, two, three. Wait, that was F major 7 right there. Alright, so let's go from the top. One, two, three, four. Let's do the exact same thing with lines, you know. Well, I guess we can't do that yet because we have to analyze the tune for a minute. And I'm just going to do it quick. Actually, it was in your packet last week. Not all of you were able to look at it. So we're just going to run through a quick harmonic analysis and put the keys in as I go along.
Make my pencil.
Oh, G major. You got G major for two bars. So before that first G major, you just put a big old G. Before I tell you what the next three chords are, I'm going to ask you if you recognize any patterns there. So right here.
So this
G.
has to be a 1?
Yeah, right here. It's a G, yeah. Alright, before, and then we're going to go to G minor. But before I give you something, does anyone recognize a pattern of the next three chords? G minor, C7, and F major 7?
1, 4, 7.
You're on it. What did you say? The G is the 5 of the C?
Yeah.
And then continue that train of thinking. What about C to F?
So the C is the 5 of the F.
C is the 5 of the F.
Oh.
So you got a 5 to a 5. You got going around the circle of fifths. And is there a formula there that we kind of talked about last week a little bit? A very common formula in jazz, staring you right in the face. And I'm going to give you a hint. We're not in G anymore.
So you're probably talking about 6-5-1 or something.
Close. Getting closer.
3-6-2. 2.51.
You're getting closer, but now you're just reiterating stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine. But it's just three chords here. So you can't have a 6.251 because that's too many chords. So.
Yeah, like the F and the G, you're on a C. You like that?
You're on the right track. It's a 2.51. It's a 2.51 of F. You're going to start seeing loads of these all over the place. And this song has tons of them, as they all do. They all have 2.51s. If you get one thing out of this class, which is about the key centers, and the other thing about the rhythm, the harmony thing would be the 2.51s, how to spot them. That's a 2.51. So you're in the key of what?
F.
Right at the G minor, you're in F.
Yeah.
Now, next, you got F, B flat, E flat. Does that ring a bell?
It's a 2.51 of E flat.
Thank you. 2.51 of E flat. So right before the F minor, you write E flat. So you're going to write G here, F here, and E flat right here.
So if it's going to the 1, here's E flat.
Yep.
There. So
yep.
Now you know what it is.
So. Wait, was that a question or was that just a comment?
I think it's a comment.
Okay, good. All right, next. Next, we got a something, something, something. The next three chords are related as well.
2.51 of a G.
Of a G what?
G minor.
Absolutely. We didn't really talk about the 2.51 of a minor, but it would be half diminished and then dominant and then the minor.
Okay, the G minor.
And we should spend 2 seconds talking. I know this is in a harmonic context and not a rhythmic context in our overall classes on rhythm, but let's just real quick talk about the minor 2.5. When you're in the key of C,
same as
right?
A, same as A, right? The relative major of the A. Is that right?
Wait, I didn't follow. The relative major would be B flat?
Yeah, B flat.
Okay, so let's take that as an example. Key of B flat goes B flat, C minor, D minor, E flat, F7. G minor, A half diminished, and B flat. All right, but you're not in B flat. You're in G minor, so it's A half diminished, and then it would normally be D minor would be the diatonic to G minor. But we often stick a seventh chord in for greater pulling power than having it be a minor. Let me demonstrate that again. I went a little fast on that.
Yeah.
The harmonized scale of B flat is B flat minor, B flat major, C minor, D minor, E flat major. F7, G minor, A half diminished, and B flat. So the chords going to a G minor would be A half diminished, D minor, G minor. But it sounds way better if we make the D a dominant rather than a minor. Listen to it not as a dominant. And there's nothing wrong with that. You have music that does that. But pulls you to G minor a lot with a lot more tension and effectiveness. So that's what a minor 2.5 is and why in a nutshell. Okay. Next we have what's called a deceptive cadence. So right now I'm at the end of the third line, the A half diminished in D7, but now we're going to G major. So it just means deceptive cadence simply means, you know, when there's a surprise about where you end up. You know, it makes you think you're going to a minor but it goes to a major. It's a quality change. Quality change means the same root but a different quality, namely major.
So A half diminished, that's going to G major?
Like it's making you think that it's going to a G minor. I'd still call it a 2.51 and don't worry about the quality change.
Yeah.
And then.
And you're in G minor still.
You're in G major.
G major.
Because it resolves to G major.
Got it.
In practice, whatever, it's not important. And then now I'm on line 4. We're back in G. We got 1, 2, 5, 3, 6, 2, 5. All right, line 4 again, I'll repeat. G major is 1, A minor is 2, D7 is 5, B minor is 3, B flat 7 is 6. I'll explain that some other day. 2, 5 takes you to the end of that line. A minor is 2 and D7 is
So this whole one is still
in G.
Centered around G.
Yep. And then, of course, line 5, you're back in G. You're still in G major. You with me?
Well, there's G major.
I think you recognize this stuff, so you don't have to write it, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
All right, good. And then, so from there down, you take over. What happens at line 5, bar 3?
That's the 251 in F.
You got it.
It's what you had at the top of the page.
Yep.
The next is the 251 in E flat.
You got it.
I find that interesting because who wrote this tune? I mean, composed it?
Morgan Lewis.
So you got, he's cruising along like in G. And the next bunch of chords are down a whole step. And the next bunch of chords are down another whole step.
Yes.
And that is kind of weird. It's great, but it's weird. You know?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
That's the F major 7, and then that's the E flat, and then it never goes to D. Maybe it does. I still don't see it. Anyway, sorry.
No, I see what you mean.
It's interesting construction.
Yeah, the two most common ways of chords move in jazz are keys. The two most common ways that keys move is around in fourths and also down in whole steps.
Yeah, I noticed that down and whole step trick someplace else. It's right there. Let's see. Oh, no, maybe it wasn't.
Everybody with us up to line, second to last line, first bar? Then what happens, Don? The A half diminished, D7, G major?
Oh, that's what we just finished talking about. The 251 in G.
Major, yeah.
Major.
Good job.
Unless it's something else.
Yeah.
And then now we're coming home here. We got a 2-5, except it's not a G this time. It's the 6, flat 6.
Let me interrupt. It's 3-6.
Okay, 3, because we're in, that's right, 3, flat 3, 2-5-1.
For some reason, that flat 3 is a 6.
It's a 6, and I'll explain that some other day. It's called a tritone substitution. I'll explain
three,
this some other time.
Flat 3.
It's like one of those things, like
two,
academic
five,
things you learn.
Yeah.
We should do a session on that at some point, but I tried to. This isn't supposed to be an intellectual session.
Yeah, it's a 2-5 turnaround.
But all you have to know is you don't need to change keys when you're soloing over it. There's nothing weird about that chord. All right, so quick harmonic, like bird's eye view. You got G, F, E flat, back to G minor, right? And then back to G major. That's the A section. The song form is A, B.
You lost me. All right, yet?
So the first 16 bars is A, and the second 16 bars is B. Now, I know they have little section marks at the end of, like, bar 8, but that's BS. The form of the song is A, B, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. Because line 5 is the same as line 1. Line 6 is the same as line 2. Line,
mm-hmm.
7 is the same as line 3, almost. Okay, and therein is the form. The very first A section goes G, F, E flat, G minor, G major. You with me? Second section, which is B, G, F, E flat, G major. There's no minor.
B. Where's
B start?
Yeah. B starts at line 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, so put a B right
there. There's just a pickup that goes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same pickup that goes to here.
Yeah, so put a B right there, yeah.
In front of the G major 7?
Yeah, yeah. The section B, obviously, not the key of B, right? So, bird's eye view of the tune. It goes G, F, E flat, G minor, G major for the A section.
But you're talking about the key.
Yeah, the keys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, G, F, B.
G minor, G major?
No, so let me, so G, F,
right,
E flat, G minor, G major.
Yeah.
That's the end of the A.
Second, same thing with a different ending. G, F, E flat, G major. There's no minor. Because this tune is, one of those tunes that's kind of easy. When on AB songs, I always forget which half we're supposed to be on. Mm-hmm. And so you just listen for that, whether the chord is G minor or G major in that one spot, if you get lost, like I do. And if they play a minor, it must be the first ending. If they don't, it plays.
I mean,
And if you're with just a bass player who plays only in root and fifth, you're screwed.
Nice. No hints, huh?
So before we get into the rhythmic stuff, I suppose we should just have a play with playing around with the different key centers before we get into the on and off the beat type stuff.